It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in for Frank. Dan and Tina and Ian and Dan all here with me. Did I just say Dan twice?
Yeah, yes. Dan twice.
I left you out, Ned. I'm sorry.
He's omnipresent, that Dan.
I apologize for that.
Hi, everybody.
We're happy to have you listening. Thank you very much. There's this movie 2012 coming out sometime in the next couple of weeks, and it is a movie that is about yet another doomsday scenario. John Cusack is the star of this, and he's a dad with a young daughter, and he has to save her from the end of the world. And it's pretty much the same scenario you've seen in every other disaster movie, like The Day After Tomorrow and, you know, anything else where, you know, all of the major landmarks of not just America but the world are ruined by a natural disaster.
Deep impact,
you know.
Aliens, Armageddon, Independence Day.
Yeah, all of those things, absolutely. They love blowing up the White House in Hollywood and the Washington Monument. And I've never seen them do the Arch.
No.
That's.
I've seen the Statue of Liberty, though.
Yeah, they love that one. But they forget our Midwestern icon here.
I know.
So it's based on some old Mayan myth. I guess everything Mayan would be old. That was redundant.
Their calendar ended in 2012, right?
Because that was going to be the end of the world.
They just stopped making the calendar at that time.
I think that's really what it came down to. Right. You know, they were working for a while, and, man, I am exhausted, aren't you? let's stop at, like, 2011. Let's do 2012, and then we'll call it a night, okay?
Printing's getting high. Oh, my.
I think that's what they got, the
tired
point they got to.
Chiseling these numbers.
Just exhausted, and so, but somebody else saw that, oh, it's a prophecy of doomsday. So Ben Radford, who is an editor at the Skeptical Inquirer and writes online for LiveScience.com, went back and with the advent of this new disaster movie 2012, he decided to go back and look at other doomsday scenarios predicted by various cults or religious groups or sometimes whole cultures and civilizations in our past. And rather than me share it with you, I've invited Ben to share it with you this afternoon. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
We're alive and glad the calendar didn't stop on October 31st.
Not too bad for the impending end of the world, eh?
Yeah. I love some of these stories of these cults that, you know, they get all of their followers to go off in a cave. Okay, September 13th, that's the date for the end of the world. I always wonder, what does that guy who said that say to his followers on September 14th?
Well, it's actually interesting. There have been a couple people who have researched that, and there's one of two things happens. Usually when you have people who are confronted with their failed doomsdays, one of the first things is denial. They say, well, no, that can't be right, because, of course, a lot of times these things are wrapped up in religion or mythology. And so they'll say, well, sometimes they'll go back to wherever they got the inspiration the world was in fact going to end.
We know where they pulled it out of.
In many cases, I know exactly where they pulled it out of. It's somewhere very dark.
Yeah.
But usually, what they do is they'll say, "Well, apparently I miscalculated." So you see this, for example, in the case of the Millerites, who were a sect in the 1800s, where they had actually given several times, several different dates of when it was going to, the world was supposed to end, for example, March 21st, 1843. And when that date came and went, everyone's like, well, dude, you know, what's up here? We're all gathered here waiting for the end of the world. He says, well, no, hold on. I didn't carry a two. What I meant was,
I sold
1843,
all my possessions.
So 1844. So sometimes they'll continue to postpone it. Other times, they will say, well, the world would have ended if we weren't concerned about it. That is, because we were all sitting here together praying and waiting for our imminent demise, that God spared us because of our prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not that the human beings got it wrong. It's that beings and their faith saved everything. Phew! We got out of that one.
It's a remarkable arrogance. I mean, frankly, to assume because I believe so fervently in this, you know, I saved the world. Okay.
Yeah, I saved the world. Unfortunately, I've sold all my possessions, so the world's going to have to save me now. All right, give me a couple of other examples, because you've got them. I mentioned at the top of the show 3 hours ago when we were starting things here, and I knew that you were going to be on today. I said the one that I really remember from the 90s was the Heaven's Gate cult, which believed a spaceship was on the other side of the Hale-Bopp comet ready to take them away. You know that one, don't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that one. I was actually getting into skepticism and skeptical inquiry and that sort of right around that time, and then, of course, that was big news around in our circles. It was a case of where you had this weird confluence of actual science. I mean, there actually was the Hale-Bopp comet. I mean, what you find in a lot of these cases, a lot of these belief scenarios, is that there's a grain of truth to it. You know, there actually is a comet. This is a scientific fact. You can see it. But then they'll sort of superimpose their own belief system. In this case, it was a Christian fundamentalist belief system. The belief that Jesus was going to return, and there was a spaceship following in the tail of that comet. And unfortunately, that wacky idea, which of course had no basis whatsoever, was promulgated by irresponsible talk radio hosts, not you, of course, people like Art Bell, who couldn't repeat this enough times, this theory that had, again, no basis to it whatsoever. And sure enough, if you say something enough times, someone will believe it. In this case, it happened to be Marshall Applewhite and his wife, who decided that this meant that the world was going to end, and therefore they decided to go ahead and do a mass suicide that I think killed something like 39 people.
That's right. Yeah, they all committed suicide in their Nikes and pajamas.
Oh, boy.
Do we know they're not on the spaceship right now, though?
Well, they might be. And if so, then I guess the joke's on us.
Yeah. The invisible spaceship, undetectable to any of our technology, but of course...
Well... It's in the tail of the comet.
Exactly.
When we talk about prophecies for doomsday, the word Nostradamus, this guy from, I don't even remember when Nostradamus was from, 15th century? I don't even remember, but he's famous for making all of these predictions, which you and I both know that James Randi has debunked most of these. But have people actually followed some of Nostradamus' writings and said, oh, okay, well, the world's going to end on a certain date?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what's interesting about Nostradamus is that oftentimes he's cited as an example of prediction, of course, prophecy. But in fact, if you look at what he wrote, it's what's called postdiction. His prophecies don't come true ahead of time; they come true in retrospect. So, for example, on September 11th, 2001, you know, there were references that after the fact, people go and say, well, you know, if you look at this quatrain, it talks about, you know, two mighty towers will rise. Like, well, okay, if this was a prediction, then we would have known that ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so really there's almost no major event in history that somebody hasn't interpreted one of his thousands of quatrains to fit, and in some cases they've been interpreted to sort of predict the end of the future, the end of doomsday basically, and one of the most famous ones began talking about the year 1999, seventh month, from the sky will come the great king of terror. Now, you can read that in, you know, many, many different ways, including as gibberish. But if you're a Nostradamus believer, then you might interpret that as suggesting that the world is going to end in the seventh month of 1999. And of course, the answer to that is, how's that going?
Well, we're more than 10 years past it right now, and we're still cruising along just fine.
Indeed.
Does Y2K, the predictions of the computer mess being in 1999 into 2000, does that fit into your predictions of doomsday scenarios? Because I remember there were some cults that were going to, you know, go live in caves and get away from the end of the world thanks to technology.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one example that is sort of marginal because, there certainly was, you know, some threat. I mean, it was not like, you know, the Heaven's Gate story that was completely fictional. I mean, there actually, of course, was this computer glitch that hadn't been coded in the 50s when they were writing the original computer code. So you know, again, as you see before, there is a kernel of truth to it. So certainly some of the response and concern about it was valid. But of course, what people did with it is, you know, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And mm-hmm. so they immediately began extrapolating, well, you know, what if this is World War IV? Or we could skip three. Or, you know, or take your pick. And so, you know, in the case of Y2K, I mean, they're, you know, as you may recall, there actually were people who quit their jobs and moved out into the woods,
yep.
Preparing for barbarism.
Mm-hmm. Didn't work out for them either.
No.
Now, yeah, there's one that's on your list that is the earliest one that you have on here, which when I read it, I went, what? People really believe that? Tell my audience the story of the Prophet Hen of Leeds from the year 1806.
Well, you know, there were, when I come up with these lists, you know, there's some of the big obvious ones, but then, you know, I like to include a little lesser known pieces just to sort of give people the broad spectrum of stupidity that's out there. In this particular case, there was actually a hen in the English town of Leeds in 1806 that proclaimed not that the sky was falling, but that Jesus was coming, or maybe
hen,
Jesus
like
was coming
chicken?
And yes, the sky
yes,
was falling.
Yes, a chicken. Yeah.
A chicken, right. And Chicken Little, very much so. And apparently what had happened was that someone noticed that this particular hen was laying eggs on which the phrase, Christ is coming, was written.
Mm. Oh.
Now, maybe to somebody in, you know, 1806 Leeds, this is very mysterious. But, yeah, and apparently it was because... This garnered quite a bit of concern and controversy, as you can imagine. We have a chicken laying, you know, these inscribed eggs.
Yeah, because, as you know, when chickens lay an egg, they usually mark them.
Yeah, with chicken scratchings.
Right, it was legible.
Yeah, it was even legible.
But apparently this turned into a whole thing, and, you know, and people would come from miles away, and there was stories and that, you know, the neighborhoods, and everyone was mildly concerned about this until one day one of the farmers happened to look closely at this these miracle eggs, and he noticed that there was one of them that had actually been forced up into the hen's body, and therefore he concluded it was probably a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, it's pretty clear that Jesus didn't show up in 1806.
That we know of.
Did they ever go back and find out whose handwriting it was?
Well, that would be interesting. I suppose it might be Jesus's. I mean, or he would have said, "I am coming." If he,
right? Yeah, didn't really refer to himself in the third person all that much.
And he would have used a Sharpie,
right. Sort of like the Queen.
Yeah,
I didn't know you could replace eggs back.
How do you
chicken?
Get one of those back up in there?
Yeah, I didn't research that. Frankly, I'm happy just to leave that alone.
Oh man!
Ouch.
All right, so we've touched on only half of them. If you want to see the whole list of the top 10 failed doomsday predictions, you can go to livescience.com and look for the piece by Benjamin Radford. Great stuff, Ben. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Good to have you. Thanks. See you.
Ben Radford, who's an editor of the Skeptical Inquirer and online on that website as their bad science columnist at livescience.com.
I know when the world's going to come to an end.
Yeah?
When my ex-wife is nice. That's when the world, and that's when hell will freeze over, too.
That will be a while.
It'll all coincide perfectly.
Fell swoop.
Yeah.
Yes.